It feels really odd to be standing here in front of a lecture hall talking about hacking education and unschooling and the philosophies of self-directed learning, all of which are predicated on group involvement and not a one-to-many lecture style. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about my experiences as an unschooler leaving school in fifth grade, and then halfway through the presentation we're going to break down into some smaller groups since we have people here, and talk about what the purpose of education should be. And then we'll come back together after that and get some individuals to share what conclusions they came to their group. Come on in. Come together and share what you think the purpose of education should be. Because I think at many points we just assume that education should be about economic productivity or about gaining a liberal education or about getting a job, without actually thinking about what the motivations behind why we go to school and why we educate and why we learn are. So one spring day when I was about 11, I told my parents that I needed to have a serious conversation with them. And they were not so pleased when I told them that I wasn't going to be returning to school in fifth grade. My mom was actually a public school teacher at the time, and my dad an engineer, both products of the school system. But they believed in me enough to allow me to make my own decisions. And while they spent many sleepless nights worrying about whether I would succeed or fail without the structures of the school system, ultimately they allowed me to make my own decision. They gave me agency and said, hey, it's your life. Do with it what you will. If you want to leave school, go ahead. School's always going to be there if you want to go back. And for right now, there's nothing to lose if you go outside of the classroom. So I found a group of local unschoolers. Unschooling is a self-directed form of homeschooling. And the term was coined by a man named John Holt, who'd been an educator in New York City for 20-some years in the 40s and 50s. And he'd been asking the question that most people ask when they go about improving something, which is, how do we make this better? And he'd been asking, how do we make school better? And of course, he'd been coming up with answers that are very traditional, you know, smaller class sizes, more personal interactions with teachers, so on and so forth, all the things that you hear around school reform. And suddenly decided to take a step back and say, what are the outcomes that we want from school? What do we want people to learn? What sorts of qualities and characteristics do we want to develop? And what's the best way to get there? And his conclusion was that going to school was not at all efficient or effective. And so for the 6 years that I spent outside of school, from 6th until 12th grade, I was able to engage with my education in a way that I never would have been able to in the classroom. I worked on political campaigns, I organized collaborative learning groups, I helped build a library in the small town of 5,000 people that I grew up in, the Central Valley of California. I crashed conferences, I worked at startups in Silicon Valley. Essentially, I used the world as my classroom. And for the first time, I saw context in my learning. I could see what I was doing, how it was relevant, and I could see the outcome of what I was learning and how I could apply it in the real world. Yet what's really interesting is that even after 6 years outside of the system, engaging with my education, and mind you, I had gone to classes. I'd taken some college courses, in some cases because I wanted to interact with a certain professor or use a chemistry laboratory, which I didn't have in my kitchen. I still went to college. And I justified my decision to leave school in fifth grade by saying, oh, well, she was unschooled and she still went to Harvard, so it must be okay. And thinking back, that justification seems so hypocritical. But yet, my parents had gone and my peers were going, and that's what society expects you to do if you want to be a productive member of society. And the school that I attended was a small school in Arkansas called Hendricks, and I became frustrated quickly with everything about the educational experience. I was thrust back into an environment where there were people who were more interested in getting grades and taking tests than actually applying what they were actually learning. That's not to say that people weren't idealistic and didn't want to change the world. They just had no idea where to start. And that's because they'd been through a school system that for 12 years had told them, here's a grade you're going to get, and your homework's due on Monday. And yet when you take that structure away from them, you end up pretty lost. And that's a huge disservice that the school system as a whole gives to society. So I started writing about my frustrations at uncollege.org. And About a week after I started on college, a reporter from the Chronicle of Higher Education contacted me, wanting to know about my ideas about self-directed education. And lo and behold, that turned into a blog post with the title, Disgruntled Student Starts on College to Break System, and the press took off from there. And it was in the Huffington Post, and CNN, and ABC, and CBS, and the press got out of control before I could figure it out. And it was interesting. It was obvious that I had struck a chord. And at the time, people were talking about the high cost of college, the fact that we're going into astronomical amounts of debt and indenturing ourselves to banks when you could be spending those 4 years of your life doing something productive. And what I was actually more concerned about was the opportunity cost of time, the fact that you're spending 4 years often sitting in lecture halls like this that hold 150 people and in not engaging with your education, but rather passively consuming it, just as I'm doing right now, talking to you. But in fact, what became clear was that the media and the press and the public were more interested in hearing the story of how there are Ivy League graduates who are graduating from school who are faced with the harsh reality of going and getting jobs as bartenders and collecting welfare checks after having been promised this golden ticket to a job, to a better future, to a better life. Since 1980, the cost of college has risen more than 350%, faster than any other real good in the economy, more than healthcare, more than housing, more than transportation. The average student now graduates with $27,000 in debt. In my view, that's average. There are many people who have hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt from undergrad plus graduate school. This last fall, student loan debt outpaced credit card debt and topped $1 trillion. And what's fascinating is that student loan debt, unlike credit card debt or unlike mortgages, is unforgivable in the case of bankruptcy. So you can write off your gambling debts, but you're always going to have those student loan debts with you. The only way to stop, to get out of paying your student loan debts, is to go back to school and take on more debt and get more education. And it seems, from a purely economical perspective, disregarding the educational aspects or lack thereof that exists or doesn't within the university, that we're facing a bubble that is impending because we are so intensely committed to the idea of education and value formal credentials in our society so much, yet they seem to be overvalued. And one piece that most people don't talk about, which is the basic economics of scarcity, the fact that as we're sending more and more people to college, India could build a new campus every 2 weeks for the next 10 years just to fulfill their demand for higher education. More than 8 million Indians that will graduate in the next 10 years. That as you send more and more people to college and give out more and more degrees, you're not actually creating a more educated society. You're giving people stamps and you're diluting the value of a degree. So with each degree you hand out, each degree is worth less and less. And there's also the fact that the quality of education has been steadily declining over the last 50 years. This graph is a little bit tricky to read, but it's a graph of the percentage of grades that are handed out. So in 1940, you see only 15% of the grades that were handed out were A's. In 2008, 45% were. It'd be nice to think that we're all getting smarter, but that's probably not the case. Academic inflation has been pretty rampant. About a year ago, a report came out by some professors at NYU called Academically Adrift, and they surveyed a cohort of college students from a wide range of universities around the United States to measure the outcomes of their learning on a test called the Collegiate Learning Assessment, the tests reading, writing, and mathematics. Tested them at the beginning of their 4 years and subsequently over the course of their education. At the end of the 4 years, they found that 36% showed no improvement at all over the course of the 4 years of their learning. And of course, that means that 64% did. But 36% is still more than a third that didn't improve, that are just getting degrees, but haven't actually learned anything. One of my major frustrations at college was that the life was at parties, and people seemed to be more interested in playing beer pong than going out and actually learning, or what I would have preferred was engaging with others in an intellectual way, having discussions and debates, having modern-day book clubs and pretending like we were members of the French Revolution and Enlightenment. And about a week before I left college last year, which was literally a year ago, my coming to South By last year was my excuse to miss enough school that I couldn't finish the semester with passing grades, and therefore force myself to leave. Just after I got back, I had a conversation with a friend in the cafeteria, and he was asking relevant questions about where I was going to live and how I was going to support myself and what I was going to do with my life once I left university. And at this point, I knew that I was a finalist for the Thiel Fellowship, but I didn't know that I'd gotten it. So I had one opportunity, but it certainly wasn't in the bag. And the last question that this friend asked was, what are you going to do about the beer and the girls? Asked with complete sincerity. And, you know, I don't blame him. Lots of people like to go to college to have sex and get drunk. But what I was flabbergasted about was that he didn't seem to understand that those aren't experiences that are limited to college. You can get drunk and have sex in the real world, too. Just like anything else you do at university. You can learn, you can go to lectures, you can go to events. Those aren't experiences that have to happen on a college campus. And when I collected my thoughts and was able to respond, after being surprised by that, I said, I prefer guys and champagne, and I'll find more of that in San Francisco than I ever will in Arkansas, where I was at college. And so I moved back to San Francisco and started talking about the high cost of education and the fact that we've stripped away the value from universities and are now promoting them solely as a credential in society. And I more or less haphazardly got into writing a book. I managed to tell a reporter from the New York Magazine that I was writing a book in February last year, which at the time meant that I had like a one-page Word document somewhere on my computer with ideas for a book I might write someday. Somehow that made it into the cover story, and I woke up to an email inbox with emails from the top editors and agents in New York saying, can we see your manuscript? Which I quickly wrote throughout May and June, and then sold the book to Penguin in July. And the book builds on my story as an unschooler, of leaving school in fifth grade. But what's been fascinating is the people that I've talked to in the process of writing the book. I've interviewed more than 50 people who found success without college degrees, who are doing interesting things and contributing to society, but haven't relied on formal education. Some of these people dropped out of school. Some of them never even went. Many of them have college degrees, but got them when they were 44. And I've purposely, in the book, sought out people who are not the outliers, who are not starting the Facebooks or Apples of the world. Because we have this mindset that the options either are you go to school, get a good job, you go to Wall Street, you drop out, start the next big thing, or you sit at home and smoke pot in your parents' basement. And what I want to do is say that there's a fourth option. You can be a happy, productive member of society, be a good person, and do things in the world without necessarily relying on formal credentials. And I've talked to people who've come from a wide variety of backgrounds, people who grew up in the slums of Delhi to the south side of Chicago to middle-class Londoners, who've done everything from start companies, become entrepreneurs, to work as vice presidents at British Petroleum. And it's very much changed my mindset on how I think about what the options are for people who don't go to college. I definitely started out a year ago thinking that not going to college was probably the best option for someone who wanted to start their own thing or do something creative or technical, a field that is easy to demonstrate your knowledge in a non-traditional way. And the reality has been that that's not the case at all, that people have figured out ways to prove themselves and get into very traditional corporate roles, if that's what they want, without relying on a college degree. So we have, like, I don't know, 35 of us here. And I'd like to break down this lecture format and get all of us talking amongst ourselves. If we could break into groups of five and talk about what the purpose of education is, whether that's from your own experiences or whether that's what you see in your kids or whether that's what your ideal is. I'd like to take 15 minutes and get people into groups, and we can spread out. There's space on the left here to talk about what the purpose of education is. And we'll come back together afterwards, and one person from each group can come up and share what they think the purpose of education is.
Are you going to help us organize the
Yes,
class?
I'm doing that right now.
So you two want to come down and join them by pair. How about you five come over and go over there?
Which five?
The five of you there. Go over on the other side. Yeah, I'm just listening to this one. It's spread out.
Okay.
We'll turn around.
You guys want to scoot around next to this?
I really appreciate the knowledge and
Dumb hands. everybody's going this way.
It's undergrad education.
It's underlying question. What?
Because they're open.
What's the chance of Do you guys have white scars?
We're trying to figure this out. And
well, nowadays it's more, I think, because they're thinking with your wings to the more further now.
I'd say brothers. I never had students, and I never grew up in college, and I regret it. I had a student in one of our classes that I
shared
with me, and he wanted to be a teacher.
There's an idea.
What I discovered was there's no one size fits all.
Yeah, this is changing our
version.
Well, right, which is one side of the
Yeah.
Slash friendships or whatever you call it.
Well, I'm also
thinking about that. today.
PhD is my job.
But as an 18, it's what?
I'm working on the
game development. So
as a young person, the opportunity
to work on the game
All right, let's all circle back together and we can share what you discussed and decided is the purpose of education. I'm assuming that this mic at the front works if one person from each group wants to come down and share what you think the purpose of education is. Do you guys want to start over here?
We sure do. Get him.
No. Yes? Oh, awesome. Okay. Up here for Team Blue, they should forgive me if I leave something out. We talked about some really cool stuff and a lot of cool stuff, so I'll just try and synthesize the most important stuff. Basically, we talked about a couple of areas of priority for people who making decisions about their own education. One of them is certainly social, and that can manifest in different ways. You educate yourself because you feel a responsibility towards other people. It could be your parents or it could be society at large. But education is a way of plugging into a larger conversation and kind of acquitting yourself of this responsibility towards other people. It also helps you establish a learning community with other people and kind of a common language for you to kind of achieve those goals. Then you have the priority of self-actualization and fulfillment. And this can be very narrowly defined as, you know, getting a crazy cool job, or but it's definitely also larger than that, and that's kind of addressing and resolving your personal curiosity so that you can become a better, more evolved human being. Then there was another slightly more cynical priority, which is reducing risk. And this explains the way that a lot of people make their education decisions is basically they realize that life is full of has an enormous range of possible outcomes, and by educating yourself, a lot of people hope to just kind of cut out the bottom 10% of those outcomes so that things don't get too desperate. And this perhaps also explains the way that a lot of companies are kind of biased towards wanting you to prove your education so that you're not an absolute moron. But those were some of the things we discussed, and we'd love to hear what you discussed.
Awesome. Can we get someone from the second group to come down?
She is the CEO.
She is. All right, we really broke things down into three bullet points, first being instilling or inspiring the passion and love of learning. Second, to teach how to learn, how to discover, how to find things out. And then third, present relevant subject matter that are relevant to the first two bullet points. That's it.
You guys were awesome.
Someone from up there?
Sure.
So we actually talked about a wide variety of things, starting with what education is and how it prepares people. And we landed on this idea of interaction, that education isn't just about receiving knowledge, but about the interaction that you have with peers, especially, and how that prepares you for future success. But then when we started talking about future success, we realized that there's this disconnect between how people are encouraged to share ideas and express themselves in an educational environment, and what's expected of them once they enter the workforce, and whether educational institutions are really preparing themselves for that, and who or what needs to change. Does the educational system need to change so that it's more in touch with economic realities, or do our work realities need to change and show a greater appreciation for the fact that people want to continue learning, and not just within their specialization, but continue to have those out of the box in interactions with their peers and with different sources of knowledge. We also talked a lot about open sourcing and how now, for instance, you can go online and get a syllabus and coursework for something that's happening at Harvard or Yale. And so the content is free, but the credentialization isn't, right? So really, people are still going to need to go to these institutions in order to become credentialized. But does that really need to be the case? Is it possible for someone to be credentialized in some way outside of the university environment, and what would that look like? Am I going on too long?
We should probably move on to the next one because we have a point.
Okay, I'll make one more point. We talked a lot about millennial culture and how millennials want to be defined more holistically, not just by where they went to school or what they do, but by what kinds of projects they're involved in and what they're making. And again, this goes back to the disconnect between what's happening in the university and what's happening in the workplace, and whether this idea of appreciating holistic education and holistic learning can be more synergized.
Half our group left. Yeah. I think we're hitting on some of the very same things.
Yeah. Are there any new points that haven't been brought up that anyone wants to add?
We didn't really come to a consensus on anything. We decided the purpose of education is different for each person based on the time in their life or what they want, or if they want to get a job, or if they want the traditional liberal arts education, that it's not a one-size-fits-all thing, so we have no definition.
I think we said one of the things that we said was obviously trying to achieve success, right? And trying to make sure that we're not left behind.
Yeah, one of the things that we sort of touched on was sort of like, at least right now, sort of the idea of like sort of the way higher education is now, it does provide kind of this idea of sort of like a safe incubator for you, a location, like an incubator location for you to sort of grow as a person and go from like leaving your safe environment at home to sort of going into the world without. And give you time to progress with that. It's like your sort of personal growth, not so much your direct education.
And I think that the idea of having the university as a sandbox is a nice ideal. But I think it's really hard to find yourself, or whatever we want to call it, when you've got an environment where often other people are paying your bills, whether it's your parents or whether you're taking on student loans, where people are cooking your meals, people are cleaning your bathrooms. And a lot of those realities of life are pretty removed from what you're actually doing. I think what you said about school being an insurance policy, if you think of school as an insurance policy, is a way that many people regard it right now. But the sad reality is that insurance policy isn't coming through. 22.5% of those under 25 with degrees are unemployed, and another 22% are working jobs that don't require their degree. So they went to 4 years of college just to find out that they aren't really any better off than they were in the first place. And while it's true that, people like to say, oh, well, people with college degrees have lower unemployment rates, but that's true only for people over 25 who are already established in the workforce.
I wanted to... Next point, can we just add to that? Because that was one of the big things that we spoke about.
Which one?
About the fact of the job market. Is.
Yeah.
It creates this idea or this demand that we should... have degrees if you're going to be successful in that. right?
Oh, okay.
You know, I think it's that sort of like, how do you can't solve the one area until you solve that area.
Right, and you raised a point about whether we should change education or whether we should change the job market. And I think the reality is that both are changing at the same time. I was mentioning to this group down here that there are a number of companies, including IGN and Groupon and Living Social, that are working on creating apprenticeship programs to take people either from non-traditional backgrounds who don't have formal education or people who have been in completely different professions. My friend who's a VP of engineering at Groupon learned to code when he was 30 after being a family therapist for 10 years. And they've started this apprenticeship program, which they're looking to expand both within Groupon to other areas and to many other companies. So we're seeing, while we're seeing education change, the change within companies is slowly picking up as well.
I think even at here in the last couple of days, you look at what people are starting and thinking about. I have a really hard time connecting what education is, you know, what you do in the classroom with what people are actually doing here. And so if this is the energy and the future and the cutting edge, there's a real disconnect between, you know, your four-year degree and what's going on in the world.
And I think that the point that you made here, which is that education has a different purpose for different people, is ultimately the philosophy that I subscribe to. It's not un-college or unschooling. It's not a rejection of school. It's an embrace of personal choice. And if you know what you're doing, if you're choosing to go to school for a particular reason, then you are an unschooler. If you're in college because you want to become a doctor or because you can't practice surgery unless you have that degree, then more power to you, right? And it's a question of giving people the option to pursue different paths if they so choose. But right now, people don't have a choice, and that's what frustrates me. In the last 5 minutes, I want to talk a little bit about what's coming next. And it's been really interesting to watch the conversation change over the last year. A year ago, people were like, you're crazy, that'll never work, right? And in the last year, the conversation has totally changed. Young people want to know how they can build solutions. I've got colleges and universities calling me, wanting to figure out how they can change to stay relevant in an age where technology is changing faster than institutions can. And the point you raised about credentialing is starting to be solved. The Mozilla Foundation is sponsoring a whole project to create badges as an alternative to degrees. MIT launched MITx to offer certifications. We saw the massive online open courses at Stanford this year become individual companies. And you know, Sebastian Thrun, who ran the AI class, left Stanford to start Udacity. It's interesting to see how that shift has begun. And I think what's really interesting about Sebastian's move from Stanford to his own company is that now the credentialing is based upon his name and his reputation rather than being tied to a particular institution, which means that we can move more and more away from a centralized model and give individuals or companies or organizations the power to credential people in specific fields. It's hopefully more relevant than just saying, I went to Harvard or Stanford or Congress. What's next for UnCollege is that in the fall of 2013, we're launching a fellowship program to take a cohort of 10 individuals through the process of self-directed learning. It's a challenge for most people because the vast majority, the 99% of people, have gone through 12 years of school, right? And they've been given grades and have a carrot held out in front until the paper's due on Monday. And when you say, here, go learn, there's no meaning behind that because you've been told what to do. And that's a huge disservice that the system has done to the vast majority of individuals. So we're creating a fellowship program and creating curriculum experiences to help people figure out what it means to learn, what it means to forge their own path, what it means to have agency, and try and figure out how we can scale a model of self-directed learning for people who have come out of 12 years of school, but aren't the outliers, aren't the Zuckerberg, aren't the Steve Jobs of the world. Because most people aren't, and most people shouldn't need to be. They should be able to define success as they want and contribute to society without necessarily having the expectation of having their name be known around the world. And there was a question about what some of the other solutions are. At uncollege.org, you can find, we keep a list, a running list of resources in this education space that are leading the change and finding solutions to a lot of the purposes of education that you mentioned. There are any number of organizations that are trying to solve the credentialing piece, trying to solve the socialization piece, getting people together in ad hoc groups outside of the university. There are companies trying to solve the self-actualization piece and merge that with learning. And you can find a complete list of those resources broken down into the purposes of education, many of which were mentioned today at uncollege.org. If you're interested in the fellowship program, go to uncollege.org, sign up for the mailing list, ask me for a card, email me, my contact information is on the screen. Thank you all so much for coming, and thank you for bearing with me in breaking this down from just being me talking to you. I'm glad we were able to get in groups and talk amongst each other and live the ideology of self-regulation.